This podcast is sponsored by Merkle B2B, driven by data, enabled by technology, powered by creativity. We can help connect you with the right audience at the right place and the right time. Learn more at MerkleB2B.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, January 26th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Millennials ushered in the era of financial technology as we know it. The use of payment apps, digital investing platforms, and the acceleration of online banking was adopted by a generation that saw the internet as a way of streamlining many of the industries their parents had to deal with. But Generation Z, the next generation, well, they've grown up with these advancements. So what are they looking for from the fintech industry? On today's show, Wall Street Journal contributor Svati Kirsten Narula joins us to discuss how fintech firms are competing to attract young users. That's after these headlines. It's a big week for tech earnings. Microsoft kicked things off, reporting continued growth in its earnings last quarter. To the surprise and disappointment of some analysts, much of the company's profits came from non-cloud-related services. Our tech reporter Aaron Tilley has more.
Their beats were in sort of their non-cloud areas, which is where Microsoft is leaning on for a lot of its growth and its strength these days. Their earnings beats mostly came from their more personal computing segment, which includes their Windows operating system and Xbox and search and advertising. These results show some amount of deceleration for cloud growth. The cloud boomed so much during the pandemic, we're seeing a bit of a slowdown compared to the rapid growth of the past 2 years during the pandemic.
Microsoft shares fell in after-hours trading. After getting pushback from privacy advocates, Google is changing up its plans for how to target online ads without using cookies. Its new proposal, called Topics, would allow online advertisers to target broad categories of users, for example, people who are interested in fitness or travel. Its previous plan would have grouped together Google users with similar browsing histories. Under the new plan, Google's Chrome browser would sort people into interest groups based on their recent browsing history, and users would be able to see and delete interests or turn the system off entirely. Tech could be targeted in the U.S. push to keep Russia in line. The Biden administration is considering banning the export of various products with microelectronics based on U.S. equipment, software, or technology to Russia if it invades Ukraine. Senior officials say the goal would be to hit areas that Russian President Vladimir Putin has made a priority, like artificial intelligence and quantum computing. It comes as Russia continues to amass troops and military gear along Ukraine's border. A Hollywood visual effects studio is entering the streaming wars through a SPAC merger. DNEG isn't a household name, but it's done Oscar-winning visuals work on movies like Inception and Tenet. And more recently, the new Matrix movie and the latest James Bond film, No Time to Die. The roughly $1.6 billion merger comes as content creators like Disney and Netflix spend billions to accelerate movie and TV production and compete for viewers. And our markets editor, Jim Wilhite, says that's not the only place DNEG is looking to grow.
Well, DNEG CEO has said that demand uptick is still very much ongoing. In part, that's because of the big players trying to do what they can to lure more viewers to their platforms. But the company's also said that they'd like to expand into gaming, and its animation work could also potentially find a home in the metaverse, where people could virtually interact online.
You can hear more from Jim on yesterday's AM edition of our sister podcast, What's News? And you may remember at the end of last year, we covered the launch of the James Webb Space Telescope. Well, NASA's long-awaited replacement for the famed Hubble Telescope has at last reached its final destination, roughly 1 million miles from Earth. The $10 billion telescope is expected to capture unprecedented views of far-flung galaxies. Klaus Pontoppidan is a project scientist at Space Telescope Science Institute.
A telescope is really a time machine. Because light travels at a finite speed through the universe, we see the universe as it existed when that light was emitted.
That prospect is creating a lot of excitement in the scientific community about what it could mean for space exploration.
We have plans for the first year, where things that we think we'll see, we think we'll see the first galaxies. We will characterize atmospheres of exoplanets, but we will find new things that we have no idea exists right now. And I'm so excited to find out what that is.
All right, coming up, they share their personal lives, they avoid debt, and they do everything online. So what do the digital natives of Generation Z want from fintech? We'll discuss after the break.
This podcast is sponsored by Merkle B2B, driven by data, enabled by technology, powered by creativity. We can help connect you with the right audience at the right place and the right time. Learn more at MerkleB2B.com.
The people who were born roughly between the mid-1990s and early 2010s are broadly known as Gen Z. In the U.S., this is a group that has never known a world without the internet. And when it comes to their money, they haven't known a world without digital banking. For financial firms that want to grab the business of this generation as it comes of age, that means embracing tech and Gen Z's values. Joining us to discuss what those are and how fintech firms are competing for this business is WSJ contributor Svati Kirsten Narula. Thanks for coming on the show, Svati.
Thanks for having me.
So Gen Z grew up with technology, you know, really integrated into their lives. Broadly, how are their expectations about financial technology different from previous generations?
Yeah, so it's not enough anymore for a financial firm to offer a mobile app or for that app to just work seamlessly and quickly. I think Gen Z expects to be able to make transactions happen on their phone really quickly with, you know, as few taps as possible, as little information being entered as possible. They don't want to have to type their name a second time. I mean, they don't even really want to have to do two-factor authentication, which brings up some privacy concerns. They just want everything to happen really, really quickly and really, really easily. They're also looking for highly personalized experiences. I think that's the big difference between Gen Z and older generations. They don't want to use products that were designed for like hundreds of millions of people. And so far, that seems to be really working for fintechs. Fintechs are able to detect patterns in what their users are doing, and that builds trust with them too. So there was a survey done in 2021 saying that 51% of Gen Z consumers actually name a fintech company as their most trusted financial brand, while only 23% of them name a national bank as their most trusted financial brand.
Okay, then. So how are fintechs setting themselves apart with that generation?
So fintechs are starting to come around to the idea that their financial product doesn't just have to work and fill a need that people want. It also has to sort of reflect their identity. This is something that a couple investors I talked to for this story said, that the next wave of development in fintech is really creating products that are hyper-personalized and speak to Gen Z's values. So what one person told me, which I thought was really funny, was like for older generations, you know, you walk down the street and you see that someone might have a Subaru parked in their driveway. And then you make some assumptions about who lives there based on the fact that they have a Subaru. He thinks that in the future, it's going to be like that when you're looking at what financial products people use. And so if you're a member of Generation Z, the type of bank you have on your phone or the type of financial apps you use, those are going to say something about your identity.
Let's stay on that for a second. So what are fintechs then doing to make sure that they say the right things to attract Gen Z?
Well, so another thing that you have to realize now, and this isn't, I guess, unique to Gen Z, but it's probably true for millennials too, is just when you have access to the whole country, you can make very niche products. And then you can reach millions and millions of people because, you know, you're not limited to physical bank branches anymore, right? So there are a lot of new online banks. This one called Aspiration is a great example because it's an environmentally friendly bank. And so they are making checking accounts and savings accounts, and they're offering a debit card that has all of these little benefits for people who want their money to go toward environmentally friendly things. So things like the bank promises to buy carbon offsets for every gallon of gas you purchase with its card, or the bank promises to not put any of your money that you give it, you know, to fund oil and coal projects. So it's trying to get you to bank with them because you care about the environment. That's your value.
I wonder, though, you know, it used to be that you would go and get whatever financial product got you the most money or got you the best deal. So are these personalizations now more important than those financial considerations?
I think both are really important. I think these personalizations are just a way for companies to stand out. The bottom line, like, yeah, the financial stuff has to be good. You have to give people services that make sense for them and are good deals. But that's just table stakes, you know? So then how do you distinguish yourself? You play to their values.
I want to talk about one area of finance in particular, debt. How are fintechs approaching Gen Z's feelings on debt differently from other generations?
Yeah, so Gen Z definitely has different attitudes toward credit card debt than other generations did. I think, you know, you will still find a lot of millennials who have plenty of consumer debt on their credit cards. And for a lot of Gen Zers that I talked to for this story, the idea of credit card debt was like their worst fear. So there was a survey not too long ago from the Bank Administration Institute, and that survey found that only 17% of people in Generation Z prefer to use a credit card when they're paying for things. And that's really, really different from millennials and baby boomers. Millennials and baby boomers, when both of those generations were surveyed about their credit card use, 46% of millennials said their first choice for paying for things was using a credit card. 47% of baby boomers said their first choice was to use a credit card. Gen Zers much, much prefer to use debit. I talked to a couple of people who do have credit cards, but they watch them obsessively and they pay them off every week because they're so afraid of any interest building up. They're so afraid of any charges building up on that card, but they do want the rewards. It's true that there are a lot of credit cards out there that offer great rewards. What we are seeing is new companies like Point, which offers something called a point card, are creating debit cards that offer all the rewards associated with credit cards traditionally, but they're debit cards. And that's good not only because Gen Zers are wary of credit card debt, but a lot of them haven't been able to access credit yet. And so right now, people between the ages of 18 and 21, they can't secure credit as easily as older generations could. So a lot of them use debit a lot more. And then when they want to finance bigger purchases, like I talked to someone who needed to spend almost $600 on new tires for his car, he really didn't want to put that on credit. So he used a buy now, pay later plan. So we are seeing the explosion of buy now, pay later fintech firms like Affirm, Klarna, Afterpay that are really having a lot of success with this group of younger consumers who either don't have credit cards or are reluctant to use their credit cards when they need to finance those big purchases.
Well, then, you know, what does this explosion of financial tech firms and, you know, their pickup by Gen Z mean for traditional banks?
I think traditional banks are picking up on, number one, the need for personalization. So they are trying to let users know what their spending looks like and how it stacks up. I mean, that's like a really popular thing. It's just analyzing a consumer's spending and telling them about themselves. Giving people personalized insights about their own financial habits is something that fintechs are doing and traditional banks are doing. The buy now, pay later stuff, traditional banks and traditional credit card companies are starting to offer that too. They're also starting to pick up on how values-driven Generation Z can be. And one great example of that is this regional bank called Bank of the West, which now, if you go on their website, they will advertise the fact that their CEO is a woman. They know that like diversity in leadership is important to younger people now.
That was WSJ contributor Svati Kirsten Narula. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.